Our gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 21, beginning at verse 33. And as you've probably gathered, we are continuing to read through the gospel of Matthew. Jesus said, "Hear another parable. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went into another country. When the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did the same to them. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance.' And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. When, therefore, the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They said to Jesus, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their season." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.' Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking about them. And although they were seeking to arrest him, they feared the crowds because they held him to be a prophet. In the name of Jesus, dear Vineyard, ever see signs around the community under new management? What does that mean? It means management is hard work, right? I mean, you know, the people that don't think management is hard work, maybe they haven't managed. It takes a lot of work to make things work. You know, there's a saying I used to say a lot of time about, you know, involvement in the congregation. You can't manage a restaurant from a distance. I mean, it really takes a lot of hands-on to just manage and make things work. I mean, anyone who's got a home understands all the crazy things you put in motion, and you still have to work with them. You still have to manage. There's always stuff that needs to be done. But when you see a sign that says, "Under new management, they've come, those who were managing have come to an end," saying we can't do it anymore. And those who are now managing have to live up to the sign, "Under new management." Have you ever noticed under new management and they still fail? I mean, it happens. It can happen. There's actually businesses that come alongside businesses so that they can coach them so they don't fail, or even that they have a product that they can pass on, a business they can sell, because it's hard to manage things. And to the point of our gospel reading, we hear about a group of managers that aren't managing things well. And it's all about a vineyard. You know, it's fascinating. We're stuck again, Van. Familiar with that? It's fascinating to me. I don't know how many favorite little pictures God has for his church, but one of God's favorite pictures of his relationship with the church is that of husband and wife, but then also vineyard. God likes to think about his family, his church, as a vineyard. I know that's kind of hard to wrap our brain around. I mean, we're so used to thinking of vineyards literally as places that produce grape. But, you know, vineyards do provide a lot of great stuff, right? I mean, the goal in planting a vineyard is that there can be all kinds of wonderful things that are produced by the vineyard. God thinks of his church as a vineyard where all kinds of good fruits are to be produced in thought, word, and action. Make sense? Are you with me? The challenge we see in our readings today, both our Old Testament and our gospel, is how's the vineyard business working, O God? And the answer is, not so good. What's happening with the vineyard are a bunch of wild grapes, feral grapes, things that aren't of any benefit to anybody. What's the deal? What's going on? You know, in Matthew's gospel, it's quite a journey if you study how Jesus interacts with the religious ruling class and the elite of his day. It begins where Jesus is actually trying to bring them in and involve them in stuff. But as you work through the Gospels, you see more and more a greater chasm between Jesus, his will and ways, his activity, and that of the religious ruling class and elite. And it's heating up. Now, it'll explode when they throw him out of the vineyard and kill him at the place called Golgotha. But here, you know, he's working them through and helping them understand what they're doing. He's trying to turn on the lights. And they're not wanting anything to do with it. They're just hell-bent to go their own way. Well, that was a long time ago now. But it was fulfilled. The kingdom of God was taken away from them, and it's been given to you. It's been given to me. And it's under new management. Did you know that? How are you doing in managing your section of the vineyard? In your marriage, in your parenting? What kind of good fruit are you producing that bless your grandkids or your neighbors? What kind of involvement do you have with the people called St. Paul so that in our vineyard efforts, we're actually growing some good things? Examine your management skills. How are you shaping them? How are you growing them? Or are you using old technology? How are you working with your family under new management with regard to the kingdom of God? How are you advancing the kingdom of God where you live? Could there be some vines that could be converted, connected to Jesus? Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branch. If a man remain in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I mean, that's how intimately connected Jesus thinks he is to us. Are there ways in your life and my life where we're actually trying to cut away the cord without realizing what we're doing? God would have us in this parable today stop for a few moments, do some management assessment with regard to our skills. Dare we suggest others work on some of their management skills? Or is that just offensive? How do we handle some of that? But it's a fascinating picture today of your life and my life as being a vineyard and the danger of producing just wild grapes that serve no good purpose, but that God's will for your life and my life, for us, is to produce all kinds of good products. except for it's not about grapes. It's about good fruits that God has foreordained for us to carry out in all kinds of different ways across the spectrum of who and what we are in our lives. Chiefly, if we want to think about it a little bit as who and what we are as a congregation of grapevines, God would have us understand that it's about baptizing and teaching. It's about understanding what it means to encourage people in the Lord, what it means to grow in faith. But here's the challenge. When the church isn't baptizing and teaching, it's going out of business. I mean, there's all kinds of things that churches can be about, but fundamentally, if we're not baptizing and teaching, then we're not managing what we're supposed to be about very well. Said a different way, when the church doesn't care about baptizing and teaching, God will put in new management. How many times can that happen? Even more sobering, if those who are managing their marriages and their parenting and their grandparenting, their life in school, their life in their neighborhood and their community, if they're not really taking that to heart and understanding what it means to manage the life that we're in and the life that we're a part of, caring for one another, it can become quite serious. We hear the Apostle Paul say it this way: therefore God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You know, how many churches today, how many Christians today just say, well, if it feels good, do it. Same-sex marriage, it's okay. Homosexuality. I mean, how many ways are places in the vineyard being tempted to just pursue pleasures in unrighteousness instead of understanding who and what we are? I mean, it's easy to pick on some of those liberal churches that have thrown the Word of God away, but it has to do with the way you and I are, those under the new management banner, working in the vineyard in the place we're at, what we're doing in our lives. I mean, sometimes the vineyard goes fishing, that's okay. If you have a chance to talk with someone else at the lake and tell them about the Lord, praise the Lord. Maybe even catching some men. But it's about understanding that there's a single message that rescues people unlike anything else we can do. Unlike anything else we can do. Paul says it this way. And Paul loved. He loved to tell the story of his conversion and what he was authorized to do. And how important what he was authorized to do was. I'll share it. Delivering you from... So he's just telling King Agrippa, this is what Jesus said. You know, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles. You know, Paul was going to have struggle with Jews and Gentiles alike. To whom I am sending you. To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Think of what has taken place in your life. Maybe your conversion isn't near as epic and movie-worthy as Paul's. But make no mistake about it, your conversion is just as epic to God because He loves you. He wants you to be a part of His family. Now and forever. You may not have some crazy stories. Maybe you can't even remember when you were converted, but you were delivered nonetheless from this very same thing. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. A place among those sanctified by faith in me. That's you. That's me. That's also part of the fruits in God's vineyard. This is what the life of the church is. This is what it's all about. And this is what God would have us understand as a congregation. It takes a lot of work to manage. It takes a lot of conversation to manage. Today at our voters meeting, we'll spend some time having to work through all kinds of details so that we can figure out how to manage what we're trying to care for together. Maybe some of this stuff we're not going to be able to solve today. We'll have to manage some of it later. But it takes a time of learning and listening and grappling with issues so that we can figure out how to work in God's vineyard. It's fascinating. The longer I have a family, the more I find it so important to talk about how we're going to manage certain things and to learn from each other on how to manage certain things. Because that's part of the fruit that God wants to see done in the life of living in the vineyard. This is really cool stuff. This is what it's about. And the kingdom was taken away from a group of people that thought they could do it any way they want, or neglect it any way they want, and not focus on what it was. How interesting to see in this story, the story of Jesus being kicked out of the church, kicked out of the vineyard, and then killed by those in the vineyard who thought they were doing God a favor. To be sure, this would be the once-for-all sacrifice that would make our life in the vineyard. You know, it's unfortunate for people to think that God hates sinners. No, he actually loves them very much. He forgives them. He welcomes them time and again into his loving arms of forgiveness. And he does that again today for us. Maybe after this meditation you found yourself thinking, yeah, I've got to manage things a little differently in the vineyard. Praise the Lord. Trust that in the forgiveness that God gives you, you can start again. You don't have to look behind. You can go forward. Trusting in what he has in store for your marriage, for your parenting, for your grandparenting, for your friendships, for where you go to school or where you work, or your life here with your St. Paul family. Because it's ours to manage together. We're in this together. But it all works because Jesus has invested his life in us. And still does. That once for all act, the gifts that we receive in the body and blood of Christ, renew us and empower us so that we can be about managing the vineyard day in and day out. Driving around North Texas, talking with different people, encountering different situations, talking with family and friends on the phone. Vineyard work everywhere. Everywhere. Where we can make a difference in the name of Jesus. What a gift it is to have Jesus' investment in us so that we can then invest. So what does the life of the church look like in real time? Hebrews 10 helps us. Let's read this together. So you get all this beautiful doctrine about Christ and how he is the once for all sacrifice, that he is the best object and the only object of true religion. And then you get the hortatory subjunctives in the Greek. The let us, so let us, let us, let us, let us. And so it's a spiritual salad worth consuming. So let's read this together. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So understanding what Christ has done, let us, as often as we need to, whenever we see that our heart and our conscience is struck with evil, take a trip. Lord, we need to be cleansed. How often does that need to happen? As often as it needs to happen. Whenever you realize, my goodness, my thinking stinks. This is rotten fruit I don't want to share with anybody. And if you share some rotten fruit with each other, you can always say, let's just go to Jesus. But this is the life of the church. This is your life and my life every day, being prompted by the Holy Spirit. Lord, I just need your forgiveness. Help me. Cleanse me. But then it continues. These are the next two. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Let's stop there. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. You know, your faith and my faith is always focused on the one who is the promise maker, the one who is the promise deliverer, the one who is the promise giver, and the one who is the promise keeper. And we can just hold on to stubbornly, like a bulldog, to that. You promised, and your promises are in Christ, and we believe. Well, help our unbelief at times, but we're holding on our hope. And then 24, let's read this one. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is an interesting one, this hortatory subjunctive. Let us stir. Stir. There, verse 24. Let us stir. It actually is like spurring a horse. Have you ever spurred a horse? They don't necessarily like it. It's kind of, you know, kicking people out of their comfort zones. It's, you know, I mean, can we stir up people in all kinds of wicked ways? Amen? Sure, we come to that naturally. It's our sinful nature. It's easy to get people like that. But instead, trusting in what Christ has done, we can do what I call godly agitation. Not that you necessarily care for my godly agitation. It needs to be done in a godly way. But to godly agitate one another to love and good works, the implication with that, we can sit on our spiritual laurels. We can say, I don't want to be involved. I don't care. I'm not going to do anything. Kind of become passive aggressive and then just be angry and not do anything. Actually, let me agitate you out of that position if you have some of that, because God would have us be about love and good works. And love is hard work. Good works are hard. It's hard to manage. But God has placed his kingdom into your care and mine under new management so that we can make a difference. Especially as we see the day drawing near. You know, every time there's a calamity, a catastrophe, a fire, a flood, a pandemic, God would have us understand that it's a mini picture of what's to come when Jesus comes and no one can work again. So as we think about the crazy stuff we're going through, let us take to heart that we're now the managers of the kingdom of God and that there's plenty of things for us to focus on in our marriages and our parenting and across the gamut of vineyard work, including the stuff that we're doing here. While most of your vineyard work is done elsewhere in your daily lives, some is done here as well. So thank you for being a part of management. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.